And 5, 4, 3.
Are you recording? Everybody points to everybody else on the Puke and the Gang show, Tards. Yeah, I haven't. Sorry.
Thank you.
It's all Larry.
Everybody points.
Did I fart? Is that what it's
every, yeah. Whoever smelt it dealt it.
All right, first non-live show, and I don't know how long.
Probably a week.
But no, we did a live show last week.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forget.
We're talking live.
And we did a non-show the week before, anyway.
This is live to tape?
Live on location, not live on location at Tony's house.
Straight to VHS.
In Tony's basement, because he has a baby, which prevents him from
traveling.
To a degree.
Tony, how do you respond to that?
I don't have to defend myself against Andrew at all.
That's very true. None of us technically do. But, except physically on occasion when he goes for a balls. I do recommend defending yourself.
I don't think I've done that in 20 years.
Where else would you rather be, by the way? It's nice and comfortable down here.
To be fair,
big screen.
This is more comfortable than our basement.
Yeah, it kind
where
of is.
We
maybe
record.
We should just...
We just need better chairs. That's the problem.
You need wingback chairs. That's the key.
Yeah, oh, my God. We've been going about this all wrong.
I have a wingback chair at my house we could take over.
No, here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
We've been designing a studio all based on, like, the table.
The table.
Around the table.
Right?
What we have right now, we're kind of spaced far apart. We're all lounging in our
respective seats. Yeah.
We don't need to be close to one another. As long as I have a mixer nearby.
Yeah.
And we can look at a projector.
A drink?
Holy shit.
The hard part is I still need a table.
Yeah, we got little end tables.
Where's my I'm taking this table, Tony, when we're leaving.
I have a lot of money wrapped up into that.
Oh, okay. Well, we probably have to find...
We are using the world's shittiest
card
table.
That's Tony's great-great-grandma's table.
Looks like it.
I don't know. I found it somewhere.
The greatest game of Rummy 500 was played on that table.
It was the cheapest table back in 1937.
I rebuilt the Spree motor on that.
Huh. In the 70s, they're like, this table folds, and everybody was buying was blown.
Apparently, Tony has a motorized table.
Spree.
Yeah, the killing spree.
Killing spree.
I don't know what that is. We're going to have to elaborate.
Oh,
I'll have you take a picture for your Twitters.
Okay, we're going to get a picture for the Twitters of the killing spree.
Friendster.
Look forward to that. Facebook.com/PukeInTheGang or something.
/Twitter.
Yeah, /Twitter.
Facebook.com.
Facebook.com/Twitter/PukeInTheGang/Instagram/all.
Fuck. Well, we just got to Tony's house, me, Larry, and Puke. Larry and Tony are here as guests, but... Larry, if you haven't heard him before, was on a PCL.
Guest in my own house.
It's Andrew's house now.
You become the guest when you grab the microphone. It's
when the show arrives.
You might as well give him your wedding ring.
The place is no longer yours.
Yeah. And the wedding ring is
Andrew
off
now
and
has
on
a wife and a baby.
I don't want a wife or a baby.
So Tony's wife's not good enough?
She's fine, but I don't want it. What was I saying? Oh, we got here from a gun show. Gun show this morning.
Shooties and ouchie shows, Tony.
I've been to one gun show before, and that was in Concord.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you were with me.
I went with you. Yeah, I know. Well, I know you went to it. I didn't know that was the only
one
that you've ever been to.
It was so hard to find anybody because everybody dressed the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wintertime.
Yeah.
And literally.
Camo?
Camo and flannel.
Yeah.
Yeah, camo, flannel, hoodie,
I would
jeans,
say dark
hat,
hoodies
beard.
And jackets.
Yeah.
And
a lot of earth tones.
Yeah, nothing but white people and swastikas. And you're just like, Jesus, where did Andrew go?
Well, where's the flamboyant men at?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. I wanted a gun that was like the rainbow flag.
It'd be cool to have a real powerful penis gun. Shaped like a dong.
Oh, like a dildo gun.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's like a 30-06.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. You know, I was driving.
That could be... Oh, man. Yeah. You got me thinking. I'm going to have to draw that up because that might be a thing. Like, you pull out a 30-06.
And there's like two balls, and that's what you use
to cock. A 357 Magnum. Yes.
You literally cock the cock.
And you just basically all we have to do is core out a dildo and slip it over the barrel.
Wait a minute. I think this would be more entertaining if we just converted
I thought Andrew was going to say he has a dildo he can use.
A dildo into a gun.
Into a squirt gun.
Tony, what was that one? The kick
squirt
commercial?
Gun is better.
Yeah.
There's like the kids that oozes on them.
The Oozinator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was some squirt gun like that.
And there was a commercial with it.
It's gooing on me. The preacher is gooing on me.
But I could swear to God, a couple days ago.
So you were looking for a gun?
I was driving on a highway, and no there was way. An object on the road, and I swerved to avoid it, but the car in front of me hit it, and it flopped around. I think it was a black dildo.
Like like a large giant dong?
Yeah, like, it was like one of those ones that are like more rigid with like a soft outer shell. You know, you've used them, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. So,
but it, like, it had the like extendo arm, you know, the clit tickler. And
yeah,
but
oh, sure.
Just the reason I believe it was this, because the size and shape of it was, you know, seemed spot on, but it's hard to really know. But what really made me believe that this is what it was the way it moved after it was hit. Like, it was rocking back and forth in a very dildo-like fashion.
You know way too much about dildos. Yeah, dildos at 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, how did I don't know how he had time to observe
that's
all
a dildo.
Fast cars and fast dildos.
I'm led to believe that, you know, to dispose of a dildo is just leave it for somebody else to find. You don't hide it. You know, it'd be the funniest way. You know, all right, well, I'll throw it on the highway.
Right.
Somebody else will giggle about this later.
It was on the McKnight Road exit of 279 right next to the dildo shop.
Dildos and stuff.
That's a dildo. Yeah.
Oh, no. What if somebody bought a new dildo and put it on top of their car, like their coffee,
and
then drove off?
Yep. Could be.
Yeah.
Dildos are flopping in the wind.
I know somebody whose car broke down in that parking lot, and he was very, very nervous about getting it towed from there.
Constantly telling the tow guy, I swear, I was only here for one pocket pussy.
I think this is why I've never gone to any of those places. I'm afraid somebody would see my car near one of those, like in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Because I've never had like an inconspicuous car.
Says a guy who knows a lot about dildos.
Well, that's why I walk there.
Yeah, that's true.
He does all his dildo shopping online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a modern man.
Alexa, give me dildo options.
Do you want the Destroyer?
So, the gun show, though.
Yeah.
Here's something I learned this today.
Oh?
And I've known it for a while, but it really hammered home today. It fired home. I don't like shows. Car shows, gun shows.
Okay.
Podcast.
Yeah, podcast shows, TV shows, movie shows.
Because you walk in, and for the first few
minutes...
Cabaret
shows.
Whatever you're looking at is pretty cool. But after a bit, you're like, I have had enough. It's enough.
Yeah.
And even a car show. What do I like more than cars? Nothing. But the problem with these shows, it's like, okay, do I want to go look at things that might be interesting, surrounded by way too many people? It's impossible to move. You can't do anything efficiently or quickly. It drives me insane.
And you're not rich enough to just buy any cool shit you see.
Right.
Because that's why I'd want to really, I mean, that's how I would have fun if I could go to a gun show and just be like, I'm buying that.
Do you get the best deals at any of these shows?
No, they're horrible.
Yeah, there's no way at the car shows these deals like, here, you look like you're special. Here, knock a,
right.
Here, you knock a few thousand off.
Sat in by 900 other people in the last 20 minutes?
Yeah.
We'll make a good deal.
Or you have the guy that has a 96 Monte Carlo that wants like 25 grand for it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I polished it every weekend.
Yeah, it's got these stripes.
Oh, what about like actual auto shows? Like,
same problem.
Because there's too many people.
Too many people, and like you've dealt with the crowds for so long.
Right.
By the end of it, you're just like, I don't even care that that's one of 50 cars ever made of this example.
So you just don't like people.
Yeah, well.
And like the really good cars, like a brand new NSX or something, they just have it on a plinth that's so far away you can't see it.
Right, and of course everyone's swarming any of the interesting stuff.
And pictures look better anyhow because you're only disappointed to see them in real life.
Yeah, you're not really disappointed by looking at a photo because you've invested nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. You haven't paid the $30 or whatever entrance fee.
Yeah, I mean, really, car shows were only fun when we were carefree and, you know, had no responsibilities and we were 16 years old.
It was part of a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't the destination.
No.
It was just part of it.
Like, we went to a car show. Sorry, Puke, this doesn't involve you, but...
All right, I'm going home.
Back in high school, we would go to Detroit. We did it for a couple years in a row. Larry, Tony, myself, and a handful of other friends. And I recall there was another Tony who used to get angry pretty easily, and he would try and take charge, but you couldn't take charge of us. he didn't have the authority.
He was very angry, but he was also too dumb to take charge.
Wow.
Just shout things and expect everybody, like everybody's now.
Kind of, yeah. Well, that's because he would believe in his ideas regardless if they were good or bad. He would just...
Is there a word for that?
I don't know what.
Confidence?
I guess he was overconfident, yeah.
Please tell me you called him Short Face.
No.
What the... you have a friend named Longface and another guy named Tony.
Was that
and
the
he didn't
we
call
did
him like
Tony's...
normal face? Or?
We did see a man with a short face once. It was Tony's nemesis.
Yeah, no face.
I don't think he had teeth and his jaw was all crammed into his face.
His chin was above his
wow.
nose.
Well, that is unfortunate.
I know, it was crazy.
Was he alive?
Barely.
Did he hit so, a bear?
Not ever Tony killed him.
But yeah, we went to this car show, and one of the best things about it was immediately, like right at the very beginning, Tony won. Was all, let's go look at Buick or something.
And the best kind of car.
Longface, we're just like, let's go look at interesting things. So we split off from the group. And we were split off all day. The whole day. And we didn't know what to do. So we're like, how do we get found? None of us have cell phones.
Oh, this is pre-cell phones, yeah.
Yeah, this is like 2003. Someone probably had a cell phone, but we had... Like, it was dead. They were always
Andrew
dead or
rich.
Something.
He had a cell phone.
Yeah, I had a cell phone, but it wasn't working. I don't know.
But you just had nobody to call.
Right. There was no one to call. Exactly. I could call time and temperature or movie phone.
I'm going to call this payphone.
Everybody
hopefully
you knew was with you.
Yeah.
He just used it to record his last message. Like, I can't get a hold of the rest of the group. I'm stuck here in the Chevy section.
He's like,
I'll never make
aim.
It out alive.
Well, for us to get found, Tony and I stood by the lost children booth.
Oh, smart, because you were children.
And then we asked someone to take a photo of us.
Sure.
I think I had a digital camera.
Okay.
So we could document it.
Yeah.
With cameras.
That's what they do.
Yeah, there's a picture of me and Tony looking lost.
Next to children?
I don't think it got us found, though. I don't know how we got found.
I think we periodically just went back and forth to the car.
Oh.
Until we figured out they were going to go there, too.
Whose car was it?
My dad's Jeep.
So you were the one in possession of the car. So
no,
yeah,
I didn't have a license.
You were the one with the keys to the car.
Nope. Someone else drove it.
Oh.
That was our hotel room, too.
It was our hotel room. And we went into Canada, and I didn't have an ID.
But it was back before they required that?
It was after 9/11.
Oh, weird.
Still dicks.
Yeah. Dumb Tony said, called. We got stopped by the Canadian border guards or whatever, and he called it Canada.
Mounties.
Yeah, the Mounties stopped us. Definitely sure. Do right.
Were they on horses?
Yep. They don't have cars in Canada.
I didn't think so.
And then he also, they got mad at him and they said, yeah, we need to search your car. You ever hear of 9/11? Didn't someone say, yeah, that happened to our country?
That was Tony.
Okay, good. Yeah. So
that's pretty good.
That was fun.
That's when we got the car searched for an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a pocket knife on me. I don't know.
They had to count our cigarettes.
Oh, because you might be smuggling them.
Even though none of us were old enough to even buy cigarettes.
Not
no,
in America.
I was, because I bought them all for everybody.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, okay.
Tony was 18 first.
Yeah, I was 16 or 17. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same height.
Did you just tell them that you were you were here for Tim Hortons?
No, you were here for some French fries and gravy.
Sir? Poutine. Oh, that's right.
So, anyway, the gun show, saw some cool things and realized I want to buy a shotgun again because I sold my shotgun to our friend John.
Uh-huh.
Kind of want to buy another one because that's if I go shooting, that's where I like to shoot. But is it worth spending the money?
No.
Yeah, I guess not. You're probably right.
Not unless you have the money.
I have the money.
Oh, well, then yes.
Well, I don't.
But you don't. I don't know. What do you need a fucking shotgun for? You can just
exactly.
Shoot mine.
Right. Yes. Okay, good.
Shotgun shells are cheap, too. Like,
that's why I wanted to buy a shotgun, because I would try to sell my gun, and everyone's like, no, what caliber is it? 40, fuck that. And I'm like, why does everyone keep saying this? And Puke's like, well, you bought the most expensive caliber gun possible.
Yeah, because I don't think you consulted me on the caliber when you bought it. Did
nope.
you?
No, yeah, I just went, I like the 40 cal, because the weight of the gun, the size of it, it fits in my hand. I liked it.
Except I have a 9mm.
I didn't know they made the same gun in a 9mm.
You also could have got 45.
Are we talking about handguns or dildos?
Both.
Yes.
So, gun show. People are very polite at the gun show. Doors being held open for long times for lots of people.
Yeah.
I think they think everybody's armed.
Right.
Like,
but
well, that could be nice. He's going to shoot me.
True. But also what's interesting, probably the stupidest collection of people anywhere in the city that day, today.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a hip-hop concert somewhere.
At that point in time, I don't think you could find a larger collection of dumb people.
Yeah.
Like, the average IQ in there was much below
or like
regular average.
Do schools count? There's a lot of dumb people in one place.
I mean, if it's Tard school.
I did document some evidence on the IQ there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Do tell.
And I text Tony during this.
I think it's directly related to the IQ of the room.
So I counted in my head how many 20-ounce bottles of Mountain Dew was being carried around.
Okay.
At one point, there was 14 at 11:57 a.m. I finished at 27 total. However, Andrew, you added to the 29 total with having two in your car.
Yeah. Andrew is a Mountain Dew drinker. It was a great shame.
I just saw, like, it was being carried around like it was a baby. It was in cargo short pockets, front slap. I'm surprised there wasn't guns like Mountain Dew holders.
Well, I'm surprised there weren't better deals.
Nah, see, that's what everybody thinks. You're going to go to a gun show, and like it's not a flea market.
Yeah.
It's a place where people go, and I think that, like, when if you're selling the gun, you know that there's going to be a lot of people are going to show up that are ignorant of guns, and they probably think they're going to get a good deal. And if you can talk them into buying a used shotgun for $400 when you bought it new, like $300, but you put on the tag $475 and marked it down.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, that's a good deal.
Does anyone really fall for that anymore?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, at one point, I was just showing you the differences between two different shotguns, and I was like, see, this one has oh, God damn it. What was it called? The little gate? The
door?
The magazine gate, the little loader gate, and this one doesn't have it. So whenever you wreck, and some guy was like, oh, are you the one selling or something?
Yeah.
like, just because I knew some very cursory information about the load gate on a shotgun.
Some guy got very mad at Pugh for touching his gun.
Oh, yeah. I walked right up to – there was a cool Kel-Tec that I'd never seen before, and I like just walked up. I was like, oh, these are – you know, I haven't seen one of these in person before. And the guy walks up, and he's like, hey, can I help you? I forget what he said exactly. And I was like, nah, I just wanted to look at this. I haven't seen one in person before. And I set it down, and then he very – passive-aggressively, like, set the sign on top of the gun that says, please do not handle without permission. And then
like
I realized these signs were everywhere on the table. And, like, I had just zoned right in on the rifle.
It's like the worst salesman ever. Like, don't touch that. Buy it.
Yeah. So.
Well, his response wasn't, yeah, I want to buy this.
Yeah.
That's
so to
true,
be fair,
too.
And yeah. To be fair, Pugh ignored the 800 signs within 3 inches of this gun.
I was the retard that just...
You lay,
didn't pay attention to anything.
You lay
else.
300 guns on the table for people to look at, and you put up signs say "Don't touch." It's like, come on.
Yeah, you got to.
True.
Yeah,
that's the problem too with gun shows is people bring their firearms and they're all zip tied and tied down and don't touch and all this shit. And it's like what's the fucking point of going there? It would be like going to the car show where you can't like get near any of the cars or sit in them.
Yeah, that's true. Well, like
so, but I understand kind of why they want that because I'm sure there's a lot of retards in there, but.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, that's...
You could take a knife and stab somebody. If they yell at you, I want to see how it feels.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Be like, what's it like if I take this machete and hack this lady in the neck behind me?
So...
I like to balance this machete.
Remind me, next time I say, hey, let's go to this show, remind me of this episode.
Oh, just any show in general.
Yeah.
Like music especially?
No,
because
like
that's
concerts.
What I will say. I will say, yeah, music is shit. You don't need to go to a concert.
No, I like concerts. That's
remember
fine.
All the people that you hate. They're going to be there.
No, because at a concert, you kind of like everyone.
No, I disagree.
It depends what concert. So I learned this. Like, I used to go to punk shows a lot. We used to go to punk shows a lot, Tony.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was always a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm older, I hate all the people at a punk show.
Is it because they're younger?
Partly.
Uh-huh.
And usually, I'm there to see a different band than they're there to see. Like, when I went to the Bad Religion show, all these kids were there to see Rise Against, and I was there to see Bad Religion. But the way you do it is the way Osborne does it. You get the VIP tickets. You sit up in the rich
adult
balcony.
Yeah,
it's adults only. You get martinis before you go in. It's very punk.
That's not my experience, I guess, when I go to shows still.
Because you're not rich enough? Is it?
That. And,
yeah,
I mean, I'm sure, yeah, I've run into a couple people who are annoying, but, I mean... Mostly they're there to see the same band. Well, I mean, the same act, you know, the headliners.
Well, I guess.
And I think I've aged along with the band, so the crowd has
aged
with me.
You.
Yes. Like when I saw NoFX, it was an older crowd than the Rise Against show.
Yes.
Because Rise Against is like 15 years newer than Bad Religion and NoFX.
I guess there isn't a huge disparity in bands that I've seen who tour together, you know,
right.
All from the same
okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's
era,
okay.
More or less.
And, like, you know, also my tastes have mellowed, so I'll go to, like, ska shows, like slacker shows, and, yeah, that's a much more mellow atmosphere.
Yeah.
Than a punk
mellow.
Show. Than, like, TSOL.
Tony did get hashtag Me Too'd at a Pie Tasters concert.
Oh, do tell.
Was that
which celebrity?
Your junk grabbed? Or is that Jim?
Oh.
Oh, he's thinking.
I know it's happened.
He tried to block it out. It's so traumatic.
I've gotten a
reach around
behind the legs,
like a solid
cupping,
you know,
from your ass.
Yeah.
Wow. Was it a dude or a lady?
A lady.
Was she hot or fat?
It doesn't matter. He's violated. Start a movement.
The second one.
The second one. Okay. Then yeah. Then it was assault. She was unattractive. Therefore, that's the way assault works. Like,
yeah.
Ugly dudes, when they do things, they're committing assault. And if you're Dolph Lundgren.
You're flattered.
And they're like, yeah. The ladies are like, yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
He kissed me.
Yeah, but James Franco.
Well, that's because he wore the pin and was like, look at me. I don't know.
Didn't he just hit on some girl online? He's like, oh, I'm 17. He's like, oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Was that him?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know the details. Yeah, I just thought he was one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care.
I don't care either. I just want, as long as people keep making shows that I'm willing to watch, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm not loyal to a celebrity. Like, if when celebrities die or anything, I'm kind of like, eh. Nah.
Yeah. Well, I've been saying this for years on the show. Like, I still like Woody Allen movies. I still enjoy them.
Well, that's because you're a pedophile.
All right.
And also because, yeah, that's the other thing, too, is like...
A pedophile flirting with incest.
Larry David, wasn't it on Curb Your Enthusiasm? He was listening to Wagner?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, people are like, how could you listen to this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's like, well, at what point, yeah. Are you just supposed to throw away all of history?
Yeah, yeah, like separate the artist from the art.
You can't deny that Nazis were snappy dressers.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, they knew how to design a uniform, ironically.
And put on a fashion show.
Yeah.
Right through the streets.
Yeah. But let's see. What
else? And they made a great oven.
What else do we have?
Who made their ovens? Is that company still? Was it like Volkswagen? It's but like it was
GE or something. I don't know.
Yeah, just GE oven.
General Execution.
Like, keep this shit on the down low after the war.
We learned a lot of the technology from government funds.
Genocide Enterprises.
Yeah.
Whew. Anyway.
Yeah, but the gun show is definitely never worth it.
No.
So
it was entertaining for me.
It was.
It is for a bit, but I just get too frustrated by the traffic. It's like stop and go traffic.
There's just too many people.
You're not like in your little cocoon where you're away from the people.
Did you guys notice there was not one attractive female there?
Yeah.
Like, there was girls there, but not one was attractive.
No. Yeah. And did you notice how out of place anyone of color looked?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, really out of place.
It was like a game of Guess Who.
Well, you couldn't help but, like, look at the black guy and think, oh, are you here to shop for a drive-by? Right? Like,
and you call me the racist.
I'm just saying. Like, you thought that, right?
No.
He's
what?
Like,
I think everybody there is shopping for a drive-by.
I thought, that guy's got balls. Everybody here, they are swastikas. They hate this guy.
And I also realized this. Like, there, anybody who says that we need to pay tons of taxes for the military, just tell them to go to a gun show and then see if it's necessary.
Yeah, well,
like, how could any foreign invasion ever take over the state of Pennsylvania?
See, the problem, though, is that the military's basically just there so we can go bomb the brown people somewhere in a desert.
Right, but I'm just saying
individuals
trying to justify it.
Yeah.
Andrew's got a point. I got a gun safe full of guns. And right. I'm an idiot. I don't know how to shoot them.
Exactly.
What?
I'll figure it out.
Well,
some
if you ever
need them wrong-handed.
Yeah, this is true.
Wrong-handed?
Yeah, he was showing me his guns, and I'm like... That's not...
You have a left-handed
There's
rifles?
A left-handed shotgun in there.
Nice!
Yeah.
That's unusual.
Well, it's in case he gets his right arm blown off.
No, yeah, exactly.
Isn't that for dual wielding?
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah, dual wielding. I've played video games.
Yeah, in Halo.
You know, there was one place that had plenty of room around the booth, and it was the ladies' purses.
Yes.
Yeah. Oddly enough, plenty of space to stand around those and peruse. Yeah. I did learn, though, that I guess you can legally have a switchblade... In Pennsylvania, as long as it's, like, open carried. Because the law says, basically, you're not allowed to conceal carry them or not. I thought you couldn't have them. So I was kind of happy to hear that, because Switchblades being illegal is just retarded.
See, I don't know the laws. I just consult Puke.
Then I don't know the laws. I just act like I know what I'm doing.
Well, fuck. So Puke.
Worst lawyer ever.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Tomorrow's your last day of freedom.
It is.
What's happening?
I start work.
He's going to set a record.
Job place.
He's going to be black tomorrow.
It's his last chance to do some personal records.
Yep. So tell us about the job. Are you excited?
No.
Oh.
Well, because it's back to a production environment, and it's it's in the same industry, but the machines are going to be different. And it's just like, it's kind of a step backwards from where I was, so to speak. It doesn't pay as well. And in a week or two, I'll be on night shift. So I'll be working from like 10 to 7 or some stupid shit at night.
That's going to be rough.
Yeah. So it'll be nice to have income,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of required to live.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still looking for other jobs that hopefully I can find something.
Just walk in there and take the place over.
Good news is traffic one way is going to be really easy, but on your way home, that's going to suck dick. Them.
Yep.
Yep.
That's what I tell them. Yes. Like, go to King's or something, get breakfast every morning.
Oh, yeah, just kill some time and don't enter the city until 9 a.m.
Yeah.
9:05, you're okay.
Just do some overtime.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to work. It'll be interesting, but yeah, join the gym was one idea. But the thing is, like, if I get out at 7, I'm going to have to go to the gym for 2 hours? What am I going to do at a gym
not
for 2 hours?
Hours, hour and a half.
That's true.
By the time you're done cranking down in the shower.
Right. Yep. That probably will be time to go home.
Yeah, 30 minutes of working out and an hour of cranking in the shower.
Yeah.
A half hour drying your balls, you're good.
The other good thing, too, is it's an hour drive away, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
That's good?
No.
Oh.
That's sarcasm.
Hey, I was looking at houses up in that area, and you're like, oh, that's so far away from places. We can't move.
Yeah,
that.
I know.
I bet your commute is 40 minutes on the way to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that'll be fine at fucking middle of the night, but yeah, I don't know how it's going to work. And then Andrew will be working from home, answering phone calls, and I'll just be not sleeping, I guess.
No, I don't sit in front of the computer and talk on the phone.
I bet you will.
No, I don't. I get up immediately and I have to walk somewhere.
You'll go down to the. You'll go.
I have to.
You'll go open up the garage,
maybe.
Which is directly beneath my.
No, I'll go on the back porch.
You'll just hear him stomping around.
Yeah. Well, basically, I'm gonna. You know, I mean, it's good to have a job, and I'm just gonna. You know, keep it for as long as possible, and continue looking for other jobs, and hope that I can find something.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I did a bunch of work last couple days on my. Design resume and found a place that seems pretty cool, kind of up my alley. That
what if
I don't know,
you just
we'll see
end
what
up
happens.
Kicking ass at doing freelance work.
I don't have the fucking motivation to kick ass at anything.
Oh,
like you have to care. like if I couldn't ever, I think, work from home because I procrastinate like a motherfucker, and I would just find, you know, you were talking about productivity on last week's show,
mm-hmm.
and how you can't sit still. Well, I can sit still okay for a while. It's getting to the point where I'm sitting still.
Oh.
Where I will just fuck off and find something else to do until I have to do something and then panic at the last minute.
Speaking of that, I tried that whole meditation thing that you and Brett were talking about.
Did you?
Do you know how stressful that shit is?
Feeling
it's
not doing
to,
it right.
It's
then.
Supposed to be not at all stressful.
Can you just sit there and just sit and do nothing?
Yes.
That's
no
whole
leisure? No productivity, nothing.
Yeah, I've
but
done it a lot.
Productivity.
I can't do it. I tried it. It was so stressful, and it was the slowest 5 minutes of my life.
Yeah, maybe that's why you need to do it more often, so you can adapt to that.
Waste more 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Mm.
Work your way up to 10 minutes.
But I tried your suggestion.
Oh, what was that?
I sat down my first day of work, and I'm like, all right, it is 8 o'clock. I've been sort of working on and off for like an hour or so before that.
Uh-huh.
But it's 8 o'clock right now. I am going to not look at my phone. I'm not going to go to any web page or distract myself in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to do nothing but constant work for 30 minutes. I made it for a solid hour and 30 minutes.
Look
and I'm
at
like,
you.
Oh, I guess I should take a break.
And then you took a 6-day break.
Yep. But no, I think that's the way to do it. Your way is much simpler, and I don't need to force myself to learn how to meditate.
Right.
No offense, Brett.
Yeah, that's a. I mean, you just have to like put the time in and try and get shit done. And
I don't think I have it in me.
Like the faster you work or whatever, the sooner you can get done with stuff, right?
Yeah, but that's the problem. There's no finish line with my kind of work.
Oh, that's true. So,
yeah.
One of the cool things about the place where I'm working is they might have a time limit on when I can do this, but they sell really cool optic stuff, and you can get it as an employee at half off.
So which I means could, what? What
I,
could you buy?
I could get a $6,000 scope for $3,000. So that's a fuck
that's
of a deal.
Deal.
Yeah.
It sounds like you'll be making money left and right.
Uh-huh.
Sell it for $4,000.
Here's what you do. You buy tiny cameras. You join the gym. And maybe you wander to the wrong bathroom and start a website.
Ah, there we go.
Side income.
Yeah, a little side.
Chuck
side
Berry. Hustle.
Is it Chuck Berry?
Yeah, Chuck Berry. That's what he did.
Oh, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
The singer?
Yeah.
Oh.
See,
goodness.
Chuck Berry did it.
He did a whole show about it.
He should have meditated
a year ago.
Oh yeah. Oh right, Chuck Berry.
Yeah, it was actually about Chuck Barris, but it was because Chuck Berry died. We were very confused.
Yeah. So yeah, that I'll probably end up wasting a shit ton of money at some point because I'll be like, this is my only chance. I have to buy one of these things now while they're cheap.
So I think we should.
I'm a retard.
Get to an early break because I think the batteries are crapping out on this thing.
Oh no, we just
mobile
replaced
recorder.
Them.
I know. But
how
we
many
replaced
bars?
Them with random batteries are laying in the box.
Well, that's our fault. Why do we keep putting the fucking bad batteries back in the bad
I
box?
Don't know. But a couple weeks ago, we did a multi-part PCL with Larry.
Correct.
About cars
that's
and what
me.
Car I should buy. And for a couple weeks now, a few episodes, I have been trying hard not to even mention what car I ended up getting.
Oh, yeah. I know what it is.
I know. And because I wanted to wrap it up on the PCL, but I don't think that's... I think we should just do it on the regular show. However, Tony has to buy a car. So I'm going to reveal what car I got. We're going to go to break, and we're going to come back to your car buying...
dilemma.
Yes. And
Tony's made his own chart.
Yeah, so...
insane chart.
For anyone who doesn't know...
I made a chart, too.
Go...
Go to clean that up.
Andrew,
pukeinthegang.com/VIP. Sign up for the PCL and listen to whatever show that was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was like 148 or 9 something.
I was really having a hard time. I really
was. That was the show that like ended up being 3 hours or so we recorded.
Three and a
like,
half.
Yeah,
it was stupid long.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
hey, Andrew, can I have the keys to your Kia? I left my coat in there.
Yeah, right. So, you guys, the conclusion of that show, though... I had a handful of cars listed. Most of them were sporty cars, but there were some cars that if you would have asked me a year ago, I never would have thought I would even consider.
Andrew was struggling like this, like he just found out he was gay.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I just don't know. I don't know how I can't fathom this.
Am I really gay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe butts do turn me on. I don't know.
So one of the cars that I drove and made my list was a car called a Mercedes E350 Coupe. And by the end of the show, I was shocked by Larry's conclusion and Puke's conclusion. Both agreed with one another, which was I should get that E350 Coupe. And I'm just like, wait a minute. But it's not the big engine in that car. It's an automatic. It's not a super light car. This makes no sense to me whatsoever. But I did like the car. So then after that show, I started looking and I go, well, am I going to hate myself driving this thing around because there's a car called an E550?
Oh.
Five is larger than three.
Yeah.
What that means is the engine is that much bigger.
We have, that's very distracting. We have 9 seconds. Seven.
Oh, shit.
Six. Five.
Shit's going
four,
down.
We have a projector.
Three,
two.
With a chart
one.
On it.
Can Tony make it?
He didn't make it in time. Anyway, that was our display. So... I thought
so. Five bigger than three,
right? Am I going to hate myself whenever I see a 550?
Yes.
Have you seen one yet?
No.
Have you seen a 350 and laughed at everybody else? That
yeah.
Shot it?
So I ended up looking at 550 prices. Not much more than the 350. The fuel economy hit was pretty insignificant for such an increase in power, and 150 horsepower increase, pretty much, and a whole lot of torque. So it just so happened that. There was one in the area. I went and drove it, and I go, oh, yeah, this is great. And I was going to buy it, and then I found one for sale from someone I knew. So I went and I got that one, drove it home. We're going to break because this thing is about to die.
Oh, no.
Goodbye.
I just want to say I'm sorry for getting upset at you. I look up to you. I think you're intelligent. So when you are frustrating, it's really frustrating. And then that's all I can think about. I can't think, well, this is a smart guy. I'm sure he has his own reasons for doing this. I just think, God damn it. God damn it. God damn it. And I get super annoyed. I could either argue with you, but then I think, all right, well, I don't want to try to convince Nick to do a show with me. If he doesn't want to do a show with me, he doesn't want to do a show with me. And I could have taken great offense to it or slight offense, which I did, and then just kind of ignored it.
Sure. No, I'm being I am super frustrating if I answer something and I don't give a real answer. And the only reason I'm doing that is because I feel guilty about saying I don't want to do the show. She goes, whose bag is that? And I go, I don't know. And then she says, you need to get out. And I said, what are you talking about? This is just a bag.
Then on the way out, we're walking out, and the table of two girls goes, did he really just get kicked out? And we're like, oh, yeah, she was super rude about it. And they're like, who was that guy? And we're like, his name was Nick Ryder, and he does a podcast.
We have full battery for 30 minutes.
Holy shit, listeners. You know how at the end of the first half, I was freaking out and wrapping up very quickly because the battery was saying low battery?
We do remember.
Well, here's the thing.
It wasn't that quick.
We just listened.
We put in batteries to this recorder, and we have a bunch of batteries in our little mobile box here. We put them in and had two bars.
No, I started with three when I first put them in and turned it on.
These were the batteries that were in there. We turned it on and it had two batteries.
Oh, yeah, the very first time.
Right.
Okay.
So you said, why don't you put some new batteries in it? I said, do we have any new ones? Because I'm looking at a bunch of miscellaneous batteries from 10 different brands in our bin.
We have a shit ton of random batteries floating about.
Neither of us had a good answer for that. So I put four random batteries in. And
it showed three bars.
So we started recording. Within 2 minutes, it showed one bar out of three.
It just three went from three max. To one?
Yep, 3-1. So we started recording the first half, and I'm just watching it sit there at one bar. And
sweating,
it was at one bar the whole
and
time.
It was just
and then I was worried.
Sweat pouring down his face like, oh, God, we got to talk faster.
Yeah, so I was worried the whole time. And that's why I said, all right, well, we should wrap it up. I'm going to announce what car I have. And then I started, I figured, okay, it's been at one bar. It hasn't moved
right.
in 30-some minutes.
Then you decided to just keep talking.
So I just figured I'll talk for another minute and a half.
You went for a five.
All of a sudden, that one bar went away, and a thing came up said low battery. And I went, uh-oh. And then a little exclamation point went on top of the battery box as I hit stop. And
this
literally.
This is riveting to the listeners, by the way.
So, yeah. It's terrifying.
It's very exciting.
So I hit stop on the recording.
Tell us how batteries work.
When you hit stop, it doesn't just stop, it has a little pinwheel.
It thinks
like,
a second.
It has to think.
Yeah.
While it was thinking, it just said goodbye and shut down.
We talk about dodos again.
It thought enough.
At least it was nice about it. So
yeah.
Goodbye.
Yeah. It was terrifying,
and
though.
Say, fuck you.
Yeah, that's what it should say.
Good luck.
I had no idea if it actually saved, so I just listened back, and luckily you heard the whole half.
I wonder if, like, it does have an alleged option where you can plug it in via that USB port.
Oh.
But the audio sounds like shit, right?
Oh.
That's what we've tried.
Yeah, we never tried plugging it into, like, a computer.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is I wonder if the one time we tried it, for some reason, that power cord was just shitty.
Oh, maybe.
Or, like, we had a shitty USB cord. I don't know, but... We should really try and like
investigate a little more.
We're never going to, no. So it's pointless to even mention.
Yeah, I'm sure we're
That's why there's so many batteries. Is we're like, oh fuck, change the batteries. Then we just chuck them back in the box, and then we forget about it until the next time we start recording again. We're like, fuck, do we have any batteries? Oh, here's some.
We're gonna forget this conversation as soon as this show's over, and we're never gonna think this ever happened.
That's
we ever had these ideas. Yeah, that's how it goes. I forget everything I say on the show.
Huh?
A couple days ago, I did a PCL with Nick at 6 in the morning, and I can't remember a damn thing I said.
Yeah.
Why would you do it at 6 in the morning?
Because Nick had to do it before he went to work.
Yeah. Damn.
So, yeah, Tony here, as we mentioned in the first half,
yep,
has to look at buying a car, and he was so impressed with my chart.
I was so disgusted. I had to do
he had
a completely
to do a better
different
chart.
Setup.
He wasn't even going to buy a car until he saw that chart.
He's just doing this to prove that he has a better way.
It's a better chart.
So anyway, tell us about your dilemma. Why do you need to buy a car?
Wait a minute. Did you explain the car you got?
Because your chart's so terrible.
I did. That's what I did, and you yelled at me for doing that.
What car was it?
An E550 Coupe.
Ah.
Mercedes.
Is that what you have now?
I'll tell you. But that car?
Yeah.
It's an odd car for a Jew.
It has a stupid amount of power. No, it's not, actually. I don't think.
A German car?
That's what they drive.
Yeah.
Germans?
Yeah.
Jews.
That's why Jews are successful. They get over that shit. They're like, whatever.
Exactly.
That's true. They don't,
hold on to the past. But this car, though, it's not as bad on gas as I thought or as bad as the EPA thinks. And it's quite comfy. It's got a lot of power. And I feel superior driving around.
Oh, yes.
On the way here, he just had his middle finger out the window.
Yeah. It has a massive moonroof, like just a huge moonroof that you can stick your many fingers out of.
Literally for mooning.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I like it. And what do you guys think now that you convinced me to buy this car?
I like it. It's a nice Mustang.
Yeah, it is. It's like the size of a Mustang.
GT. Mustang GT, right? The 8.
They're still the same size.
The V8.
But it's the same size as the non-V8.
Oh.
All Mustangs are the same size.
Except for the engine.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the... Okay.
The fact that for your job, when you have to travel long distance, it doesn't seem like it's not a chore to get in that car and go 3 hours.
No, not at all. Yeah.
I'm all for you spending the most money possible. So I...
But that wasn't the most money possible.
Why would you say that now?
Versus buying a $5,000 MR2 or something.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't going to buy a $5,000 MR2. I was looking at $17,000 MR2s.
You were looking at
cars. You didn't listen to the show. I found...
I'm not going to.
I found...
the best garage in the Northeast.
A very unique teal AW11 MR2 for sale in Connecticut.
Oh, maybe you did send me that link.
Yeah, I was in a showroom and it was...
That's the best color.
It was $15,000 or something insane.
You should buy that, too.
I should.
Just buy buy both. You have a Mercedes. You can afford more.
I did just see on Bring a Trailer, there was a 1989 first-generation Acura Integra with 36,000 miles, and it went for $10,000.
Yeah. That was insane.
Yep. That was tempting.
Those are still the ugly ones. Nobody wants those.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly. That's why I want it.
Yeah.
Yep.
You like ugly cars.
I guess. Anyway, tell us about your dilemma.
So...
You have a lot of cars already. There's one in my garage.
Yeah. I have so many cars, I can't fit them in my driveway.
This is true.
First world problems.
So, a few years ago, I bought a Volvo wagon. Not for me, but for Sarah to drive around. It was a nice car to put
Sarah's
stuff
Tony's wife.
Into, carry bikes, carry stuff. I put some plywood in it. I put some plywood on top of it. Then we had a baby. So
like permanently on top of it?
That's the roof.
Yeah.
Like you fixed a leak?
Yeah.
You're not going to beat the guy we saw on the way here that had two.
Oh my God!
He had two single mattress box springs and a dresser on top of it, all strapped to the roof of his Corolla.
Did he hold it with his arm?
Interstate.
It was almost too high. He couldn't have.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to reach.
He'd have one of those claw arms. Yeah, to, maybe reach
the
top.
What was the episode of Pete and Pete?
Yeah, King of the Road. That's what we talked about.
Yeah.
He did have it lashed down pretty well, though. There was at least rope going fore and aft.
The rope
the
was
trunk.
Going through the rust hole in his trunk.
Yeah. I was impressed either way.
At 80, he had no care.
He had as much stuff. It weighed as much as the Corolla.
Yeah, it looked like it.
That's it. Speaking of which, we're talking about Andrew and Puke's friend Keith. He bought the Spark.
Chevy Spark, yeah.
DNK.
Yeah.
For the listeners.
Why didn't he buy a 2004 Corolla? I feel like that's a better car for...
He had a 2002 Civic.
Okay.
And then he got a Spark.
I feel like that's going to cost more money.
Andrew's shrugging his shoulders and going...
Well, here's the thing, too. When he was here visiting, he told me something very disturbing. He goes, you would probably hate me on the road. And I go, why? I've driven with you before. We drove to Virginia Beach and back together in your Civic. And he's like, because something I learned about this car is... At 55, I get 50-some miles per gallon. Any higher than 55, it dips down into the 30s. So I never go faster than 55.
That's a huge safety risk.
That's what I told him.
Especially on an interstate.
Yeah.
He should stick to side roads then.
It's insane. I can't believe this man.
Yeah, he's one of the horrible people that is ruining
the roads for everyone
else. That's
just one of those features on every newer car is the... the eco modes or the MPG
calculators.
Guides.
Well, and the cars are designed like the whole powertrain and transmission and everything else is designed for the EPA test.
Well, yeah.
So if the test only takes you to 55, then they're going to maximize the efficiency at 55.
Right.
Not any higher.
If you say.
It's true. Think about it.
Well, I also feel if they design it to go 100 efficiently, 55 would be way more efficient.
Maybe. Maybe not.
I don't know. The Spark is a hideous box shape, yeah, so it kind of makes sense.
And
you're
also
getting a lot of air pressure at higher speeds.
This is the same reason, these same tests, like the pollution test, that's why cars use 0-20 oil now.
Yeah.
That's insane. It only helps for cold starts. It doesn't help for anything else. The automotive industry is ruined. It's absolutely ruined. It really is.
That's why you have to get an electric car, because they can't ruin those yet.
Yet. Well, they kind of are.
Well, technically, they started out, they're ruined.
Anyway, it's very depressing.
But you don't have to do oil changes, so there's no maintenance ever.
Right.
So that's great.
Never.
As one of our friends pointed out.
There's still oil in the cases.
No, you never oil, no maintenance ever.
Teslas are 40,000 miles. You got to change that oil.
You never have to look at anything under a hood or in a wheel or underneath the car.
No storage under a hood.
No brakes.
So, yeah. I mean, unless you just want your groceries to rot. Yeah, you don't have to look under the hood.
But that's what I hear people say. They're like, oh, I got to get an electric car. There's zero maintenance ever.
Read the long-term review of the Teslas and see how much maintenance is involved compared to any other car. Anyway, so you got yourself a Volvo.
I did. And drove around for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Carry a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We had a baby.
I like Volvos.
Carries a baby fine.
Okay.
On the roof.
But, I mean, still getting pretty good gas mileage. I mean, you know, low 20s average.
Yeah, but it's a utility vehicle.
Like, right.
It's a big car, and it's a wagon, and it's four-wheel drive and turbo.
Yeah. So it was nice. I think we got it. I think I sold it at like 210,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought he was going to say dollars for a split second.
Maybe more miles. But the miles were getting up there, so I was like, maybe I should look into getting something else. It ran well, but it wasn't going to run well forever.
Right.
So an opportunity came up. So
you didn't want to be one of those cool guys with like 300,000 miles on your Volvo?
Not on those Volvos.
That's when you put stickers on and the value shoots up.
Those Volvos you're talking about are the boxy 80s wagons. And
which
the
diesels in every predominant neighborhood.
Yes.
Like, yeah, there's always
right now, every affluent neighborhood has
at least one dirty hippie with a Volvo.
Yeah, exactly. There's a $5 million house. You can guarantee there's a Volvo somewhere.
Yeah, that is the car now for today's discerning hippie.
Yeah.
Like there's a stigma associated with Volkswagen now. But even before that whole debacle in 2015.
Before that, Hitler.
They got over that.
They got over the Hitler, got into the hippies, and then they got back into the...
But yeah, like... It's expected that the hippie's going to have a Volkswagen, but if a hippie was like, wait a minute, I don't want to be like the rest of you hippies, then he gets a Volvo wagon.
Yeah. And some of those hippies make money, and they keep that wagon.
Yeah. It's weird. Weird world.
Yes. So an opportunity came up where I could buy this 2010 Cross Tour. It's an Accord wagon, all-wheel drive piece of thing.
Kind of hideous.
For a few thousand under Blue Book. So I thought it was a really good deal. The car's nice, leather, tinted windows. You know, it's loaded as far as 2010 could be loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 77,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So we're driving around. And I'm not the predominant driver of this vehicle. So I didn't really notice it at first, but it's getting very awful shit mileage. Like less than 15 average city highway.
That's what my truck gets.
Yeah, and I could be driving a truck for that. So here I am looking for something, and not that we do a ton of miles, but I just can't get that out of my head.
Why don't you just fix it?
How?
I don't know. There's no way that car exists at that mileage. It's not.
Try zero weight 20 oil.
Every Cross Tour isn't that bad. It cannot be.
I've read a handful of reviews online, and some people are getting it. It has something to do with, you know, the region, the gas, the time of the year.
Jesus.
I mean, there's nothing. I changed the air filter. That was just a stretch of a hope that I could do. I changed the spark plugs just, you know, 77,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well. And it was really easy to do. So, I mean, it wasn't something that I had to, like, pull the engine. They're pretty easy to do. So
the second thing on Google when I put in 2010 Cross Tour, the second option is MPG.
Yeah.
So and it is
something. It says 18 city, 27 highway.
Well,
so you're not getting very good regardless.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, in a perfect world. Par. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like Las Vegas desert test.
Right. What? So
sea level
that,
flat.
That's where they get the best gas mileage.
Yeah. Sea level and flat.
Downhill.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, my E550 coupe is rated at 1523 and I get between 20 and 26.
Yeah. I drive my CRV like a dick, and I get 25 to 30.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway, it's probably the same size motor, 2.5, 2.4, four-cylinder, I forget.
So the car is not perfect. It's not sporty. It's an ugly vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need all-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
I put snow tires on anything regardless. Front-wheel drive is more than enough, I would say.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So... Now I'm in the market to buy something else.
Because the gas mileage, like, you're taking penalties with this car. Like, style, there's no performance in it. You know, it's not a cool car. So it doesn't rank well anywhere else except for utility.
And under utility, it's not the best.
Yeah, cargo.
The hatch is a weird shape.
Right, it's not a good shape. It's a wagon thing, but not really.
Yeah. It's not a squared off wagon.
No, it's not a Volvo.
It ain't no Volvo.
Volvo, no. So, anyway.
I think we got to explain this chart here.
So, we're looking at a chart. It's quite comprehensive, a lot like my chart. I don't
it's
think
nothing
it's
like
as
your
polished.
Chart.
I think it's a little better.
I don't know about that. Okay, explain your chart.
So, the columns are the cost, mileage, cargo, and then there's a score associated with all three of those ranked 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
And subjective looks, sportiness, comfort, uniqueness, how rare is it, how often do you see it on the road,
mm-hmm.
Interior features, how nice is it to drive, and then I have my wife's overall opinion of the car, the looks.
Sarah score.
Since she's going to be driving it 75% of the time.
So I have a question. With my score, the lowest a car could get in any category was a 1.
Right.
And the highest it could get was either a 3, 4, or a 5.
Yeah.
Depending on how high the category went.
Okay.
I'm looking at this, and under features, you don't have anything that's a 3, even though the score is 1 to 3, and a bunch that are zeros or blank.
That's dependent on individual examples. So after I would test drive one, so I could drive a base model Mazda 6 or a loaded Mazda 6. So a base model might get a 2 and a loaded one might get a 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There's definitely some different features in there that'll make life nicer
or
worse.
Yeah, that's just dependent on which exact example I drive.
But why is there blank? Like, wouldn't...
Because I hadn't driven any of those.
Yeah, he's got an
score.
Oh, I could.
Well, they're all on an even plane right now anyhow. Since there's no score there.
Right.
But some have a score.
They will.
It's the ones he drove.
Okay, so you're still filling out this
chart. Right,
yeah.
So those will be filled
out.
In.
Okay.
Now that Andrew's filled in.
Okay.
So, and then the last column is the Tony score, which is the cumulative score of all of those.
So let's see how your current car ranks.
So, yeah, I have the two controls, the Volvo XC70 and the Accord Cross Tour. That I have.
Okay.
So, what do you want to... I mean...
So, both of them rank high on cost because both of them were fairly inexpensive.
Yes. So, my cost categories is...
1 through 5.
Yeah, 1 through 5 and...
Oh, Honda gets a 4, the Volvo gets a 5, but the total score on the Honda is 19. So, 19 is... Like, anything less than 19, life gets worse, right?
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. Is this backwards? Like, 20 plus MP? Oh, that's cost.
Yeah, that's the cost.
Never mind. I thought we were still on
mileage.
I'm dumb.
the lower score it gets.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
So $10,000 to $12,500 is a five,
mm-hmm.
or you know anything under 12.5 is a five. 12,600 to 15,000 is four, and then you know so on and so forth. Right. Everything over 20 is a one.
Okay. So, but total 19. Anything 19 or lower, you're gonna hate, and that's why you're getting rid of this car because it's a 19.
Right. Right. And I didn't put all of these options in here. I had some input from a couple other friends, and so. A couple of those options aren't my...
Oh, you mean the choices of vehicle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, then the Volvo, mm-hmm. seems like you liked it quite a bit. It's a 24 total score.
Right.
And which you did like that car, right? You only sold it because it was just getting such high mileage. Like, you were getting up there in mileage, and you were worried about its future.
Right. So, that did very well in cost, cargo, comfort. It did really well. Unique, you don't see them on the XC70 on the road very often. I don't in this area
mm-hmm.
as much. So ranked low on features, very not sporty, and mileage was not great, but it wasn't awful. So it got a 2 in mileage. So that scored a 24.
Okay, and Sarah likes the Honda more than the Volvo.
Objectively, yes. She and the Volvo didn't get along, she says.
Why is that?
Too Swedish?
Well, she says meatballs. Things only broke when she drove it, which is true because she drove it 3/4 of the time.
Right. And also, something I've learned about me, I'm much easier on things than other people are. Like, I'm lower impact on cars in general. Like, I don't ding things up on the car. I don't scratch things. I don't break things off.
Your wheel did fall off your truck recently.
That was it.
Literally.
This is true. You borrowed my 92 Accord
yep.
to deliver pizzas,
yep.
and it came back smelling like smoke. There was uh-huh. garbage in it, and, uh-huh. and the window was broken.
Yeah, that's low impact.
Now as an adult, I watch other people like handle my vehicle. Like they open the door. They slam the door closed. I'm like, why do you got to slam the door? They kick the speaker in the door when they get in and out of the car. And I go, I just think, and I've watched this, everyone. It's not just one person. It's anybody and everybody.
He's talking about me.
I'm talking about you. I'm talking about everyone, not just you. I'm not singling you out. Like my BRZ. I first got my BRZ. It was in perfect condition, and I took care of it. I made sure not to park near anybody. I didn't want to get a scratch or a dent or a ding. Within the first week, my ex-girlfriend backs into it and then insists that she didn't hit it.
She was a pretty horrible person, to be fair.
That's not very nice.
And on that bombshell.
So, the next car on the list is confusing to me. It gets an 18 total, so it's even worse than your Cross Tour. Why is it even on this list?
I didn't know it was going to be worse when I put it on there.
I can't just delete everything. It's a
gonna
Ford
be worse.
Transit Connect, which
short
is
short wheelbase,
which is that weird little Ford.
Yeah, we saw one today.
Fusion looking van.
It's a miniature. Utility van. It's not really a minivan.
It's built on a Focus,
and it's meant to be. Like,
I thought it was. I thought it was interesting.
Van.
Uh huh. Yeah, it gives you the impression that it's interesting because it's
about
like
it.
This is something different. It's not an Econoline, but then you actually get in one. You're like, this is worse than an Econoline.
Well, after I scored it, yes.
Yeah.
It
okay.
Is, yeah.
It's totally interesting though.
It's no longer
like tons of headroom.
Right. Look at the cargo score.
Cargo is 47.
That's the only thing it's got going for it. Right. That and the cost is mediocre.
It's a giant box.
Yeah.
It better have a good cargo score.
And it's
unique. Sarah really doesn't like it.
Oh, she hated that car.
Oh, that's the one you buy then.
Okay. All right. So that's kind of off the list.
Oh, definitely. It's not an option.
Okay. So we're narrowing it down. So far, we have zero options.
Correct.
We'll get to it.
Okay.
There's 20 cars on this.
Okay, so next up.
A new Civic Hatchback Sport.
What makes it a sport?
Sportiness.
It's a trim sport. Level.
Okay, Peppy. What does that trim level get you?
A little bit better visual cues, more horsepower, mm-hmm. 6-speed, and I think different seats and interior, the touchscreen.
Painted trim pieces, I think, on the outside.
Okay.
And it's not that. It's like $1,500 more than the base model.
Okay. So that gets a total score of
19.
So that ties your Cross Tour. I'm surprised because you had actually talked to me about this car. just because you saw it, you're like, I can get one cheap, brand new, like pretty relatively cheap.
Relatively, yeah.
Right, $21,000.
Right.
And I just thought, for fuck's sake, $21,000, that doesn't, I've driven these. Like, they're not better than anything else in that category, I don't think. They have power, but it's not power in a good way.
And that 19 reflects the score.
I mean, did you drive one?
No, but I mean, it reflects, you know, all of the other scores that, you know.
Right.
You can score without driving one.
So that's not really an option either.
No. So the high points in that is
longevity.
Good mileage, okay sport, and it's kind of middling in every other factor. Except for Sarah really likes it. So
that's because it's overstyled.
Ugh,
right?
It's ugly. It's very ugly. A one in looks for me.
Yeah, me too. I don't like the way it looks at all. It's overstyled. I've driven these. I was unimpressed. I thought, yeah, this is for someone who doesn't know what a sporty car really is.
Oh, Honda.
Yeah.
It has the Wii factor. Like, you put your foot in and it's like, ooh, things are happening. And then things stop happening and it's depressing.
I think me and Puke talked about that. Well, they're designing cars for 3,000 RPMs.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Again, this is designed for the EPA fuel economy test and also the dumb person's impression when they drive it.
It's peppy off the line.
None of these are meant to be rockets that I don't really care about.
But there are cars that feel like a real car that was engineered for. It was engineered for the way it drives and not to meet regulations.
Okay. All right. Fine.
All right. So we move on.
Which is a new Mazda 3 hatchback, Puke.
Yes, but based on your price, this would not be the engine that I have. I have the 2.5-liter four-cylinder, and this would be the 2-liter four-cylinder?
I think I tried to go for the 2.5.
Is it? Can you get it that low in price?
Because
mine is the Grand Touring with a bunch of the nav and all the jazz.
I don't care about nav, but the motor and the 6-speed is what I tried to price out as. And that would have been a used option since it's been around for a few years.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, mine's a 15.
But
that's very nice.
It's impossible to find a decent mileage one with a 6-speed and that motor anywhere within 400 or 500 miles.
Yeah. Welcome to modern car buying for modern cars. It's
so
fucking depressing.
That's why the new option is on there.
Yeah.
And highs are... let me see which column. Highs or looks?
Now, I'm surprised that you have a higher cargo score for the Civic versus the Mazda. Why is that? Is it more cubic
inches?
Yes. That's the thing. You can't just look at cubic feet because this...
Yeah, it's
you
usability.
Measure cargo based on its cubic feet, based on the specs that you see in magazines and spec sheets and things like that.
It's not real-world stuff.
Right. Real-world cubic feet. Cubic feet don't matter because, like...
It's the shape.
It's a weird shape, and it might be all up high. How often are you going to use the cubic, you know, the storage area up on the roof, up near the roof?
No, this is just the cargo. This isn't the passenger
stuff. You need to actually take your car seat to a dealership and put it in and out of the car and see how difficult that is, or a bicycle.
For any of the real options, yes.
You need to do what Kramer did when Jerry was looking at buying a Saab. You need to go and run your route, not the dealership's route, and run your errands to see what it's really like to live with.
So
and then go past the slash and see how far past E you can go.
Right. So any of these real options will get that treatment.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe not that exact treatment, but
okay.
it'll be taking a better look.
And your mileage.
I like the Mazda 3. I don't know what a manual is like to drive, but when it comes to these kinds of cars, I like the Mazda 3. It's nowhere near as powerful as the Civic, but maybe it is.
I think in that category, it probably is.
Okay. Well, it doesn't. I don't see you chirping third gear in a Mazda 3. However, I think it has a much better personality. Like the engine.
It's naturally aspirated. The Civic's turboed, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I just don't. I really find myself not liking turbo cars at all.
I find it interesting.
I don't want to get into that.
It says your mileage is 25 and 33. Which I could have swore when I bought mine it was like 26 and 40 or something. I wonder if they adjusted it at some point.
I don't think it's that big of a difference, but I know the CVT gets marginally better mileage.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have a CVT.
I don't have a CVT, but I'm just saying that they... I wonder if Mazda at some point has adjusted their mileage for this car versus when I bought it.
Is it next year Mazda has the gas motor without spark plugs?
It still has sparks. It's called controlled combustion...
HCCI.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's next gen though. The SkyActiv is not going to have spark plugs.
Well, the engine that's coming out soon is like compression.
Yeah, compression.
Whatever the fuck. But it still has spark plugs. They're just they like can turn off at certain points when they don't need them and stuff. It's kind of a hybrid. Yeah, it's a very interesting engine. Yeah, pretty much.
So, okay, I do think this is a good contender. However, it only got a 21. I'm surprised it got a 4 out of 5 on looks, though.
Within the context of this list?
I guess so. Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Looking at the rest of this list, you have nothing super attractive on here.
Yeah, 4 is as high as it gets.
Nope, there's a 5.
Where?
Focus?
Oh, that's cargo. Never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, I'm like, where?
Yeah, there's no truly beautiful cars.
Shit's happening.
Screen died.
Screen went blank.
Oh
God damn it!
What are we talking about?
Cool. It's
all
right. It's coming back.
Now we got a pinwheel. Batteries are dying.
The batteries are dying.
What?
You're good.
No, you're. I didn't. I'm joking.
We're. Yeah, the only 4. Well, I'm sorry. The highest looks on there is the Civic, the Mazda 3, and a TLX. Which, what year TLX would that be? I guess they stopped making them in 2014 or something.
No, that's the TSX.
You're not looking at looks then, Puke.
Yeah, because Civic was
Civic
1.
Is a 1.
Oh.
You're not reading
Acura.
Columns.
Uh-huh.
So,
the ILX got... No.
You're not looking at looks.
Oh, I'm looking at Sarah's score.
Jesus. Anyway.
Where the fuck are looks?
That's
oh, God.
H.
Under the looks column.
I'm way off.
Yeah. Learn how to read charts.
I thought Andrew was stupid at first, but it turns out it was me.
We should share this to the show notes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know what you need to do is do, like, every other line should be a different color.
Yeah.
It'd be really helpful. We learned about that today.
Yeah. Trying to do that this morning on Excel. It was very difficult. Anyway, moving on. Acura ILX.
Nope.
Yes, which is a fancy
Civic.
Civic, yeah.
Yep. From... I don't have a year listed here, but well, 2015, somewhere in that range, 14,
See,
15.
I don't think I like this.
They got terrible reviews, the ILX.
Yeah, it just seems like you're paying extra money for an
for
old
the badge.
Civic.
What I don't want, it didn't score well.
It got a 19, yeah.
Yeah.
So again.
We can still make fun of it.
Don't get hung up on it.
Okay, so yeah. Far we have one option, the Mazda 3.
Why are you buying an ILX, Tony?
So it did well in mileage and... yeah, not that much else. Sarah liked it.
It's good in the price range.
Yeah, the price isn't bad. So
used.
Yeah, you can get one around 15, which, I don't know. It looks better than that year's Civic, and that's the only reason it's on there.
Yeah, plus you get to be like, I drive not a Lexus, an Acura.
Yeah, but you want the entry level.
It's not made a rap song about Acura.
Right.
Yeah, the list reflects that I don't want
good.
It.
Good. Okay.
So don't worry.
So the next line?
A new... Golf sport wagon.
Sport wagons.
So that's like a Jetta wagon.
Yeah, well, it's
it
a Golf.
Looks like a Jetta wagon, but smaller.
It's all.
It is smaller.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It is smaller?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a fat Golf.
I kind of... So, Volkswagen, when it comes to these smaller cars, it's a more premium smaller car.
Yes.
However, Volkswagens, I feel like you can get for a pretty good deal.
Probably.
And that's the price new, $18,800.
Yes, I think via True Car. I think it's where
I
got that.
That's pretty impressive. It gets a 21 total score.
Not
Sarah
impressive
does
on
not
Sarah.
Like it. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, she doesn't like it.
Why? The looks?
Yeah, she hates the looks.
Oh, I think really? It's hideous.
Oh, it's not a good looking car.
No, not at all.
Oh.
Is she West German?
So, good mileage. You can get it in a 6-speed.
Yeah.
So, that's good. Good mileage, good cargo, comfortable. And so, yeah, it is sort of, it could be a contender if I talk Sarah into it, but I think I can easily talk myself out of it.
See, I tend to steer away from the vehicles that are like the Acura or the Honda Civic. I know you're not getting them, but what I'm getting at is it's kind of like this is the budget vehicle. Like any flavor of this Civic is still, it's built to be like an economic car. The Volkswagen is the same, but I feel like it's a little bit...
It's a higher tier of economic car.
Yeah, it's a little bit better. However, if you stepped up to like the Honda Accord, that's a much more substantial car that was built to be better. Like I had a friend.
Yeah, I know.
He's been on the show, Johnson. He's like, I think I'm going to get a CRV. Do you think I should get a CRV? And I said, what are you getting a CRV for? He goes, oh, I live in New Hampshire, and I live in a condo, and I have an apartment, and they plow the the road, and I live in a city where everything's flat. And I go, so why are you getting a CRV? And he's like, well, it seems like it's a good deal, and the mileage isn't that bad. I go, why don't you just get a really nice Civic? Then he's like, oh, the Civic's too small. And I go, that's the same fucking thing. It's the same goddamn car. And I said, look at what you can get an Accord for. I bet you're in the same ballpark price-wise as the CRV. Turned out he got an Accord. So happy he did it.
Yeah, new Accords are a ton of money, and mm-hmm. used Accords are a ton of money.
Oh, well, not in New Hampshire, because anything that's not an SUV is pretty affordable.
I'm sure front-wheel drive helps that as well.
Yeah. But the Accords were still more expensive than a used like Mazda 6 and
yeah.
such.
Oh, yeah. No, the Honda holds its value better than anything else that isn't a luxury brand. Yeah.
Right. So that's why that's not on this list, other than the
right, but
control.
I'm just saying, overall, like if you step up above tiers, you get just it seems like a much better car overall.
Oh, yeah, I know. And that's the last of the new options.
Okay.
So everything underneath that will be
what used.
A
what's
better.
What's that 18 Honda Fit at the bottom?
What about that Outback?
All right. So anyway, next up.
The next one is a Volvo V60.
Oh, what the cool. fuck is a V60?
It is
badass.
The wagon version of an S60.
S40.
No. Yes. What the fuck is a V50 then?
A V50?
Because that's on the list too at the bottom.
Oh, then I don't know. I got confused then.
Yeah.
Because like a Mazda CX-5 is a Mazda 3. A Mazda CX-9 is a Mazda 6.
Yeah.
So they try to trick you into thinking it's a higher
they
tier.
They tricked you.
Well, no. Volvo tricked me because I didn't know they had a 50.
Yeah. They used to. They don't anymore. I don't even think they have a
I'm very
S40
confused.
Anyhow.
Oh.
Maybe the V60 is a new version of V50.
Maybe.
Well, either way. The V60 is a handsome wagon.
I do like the way it looks. I know what these look like because I test drove a Volvo once.
The V40 is looks like a hat, like a little hot hatch.
Well, we weren't talking about a V40.
Well, there's no V50, so I don't know.
There's okay. The V50's not a thing. You're full of shit.
We'll get there.
Okay.
So it is a handsome car, but it is holding its value remarkably well for a Volvo. I thought they would all drop off.
No, Volvos, they are value holders nowadays. Oh,
37 on the highway?
I want to mention something. I applaud Honda for actually calling their car a name.
Oh, yeah. Don't get yeah.
The V50 is an older V60.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Then.
All right. So the V60 got a what? 23. Ooh, it's our highest ranked one yet besides our old Volvo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting up there.
Sarah, setting a pattern.
Not a huge fan.
Middle of the road there for those scores.
2 out of 5.
But those would be automatically more than that because it has blank with the features.
Oh, yeah. You don't know what the features are going to be.
So even more. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Or less.
Yeah, so all of them are to be determined in the features category.
Right.
So worst case scenario, we're looking at a 24.
Yes. So this car scored pretty well in a lot of categories. Cargo is well.
It's
mileage
unique.
Is
it looks
pretty
good.
Good.
I like it.
Good.
Swedish cars are better. The interiors are nice,
it's
right?
It's not that sporty. It's very comfortable.
Yeah.
It's pretty unique.
Because it's kind of like a crossover, right?
This is the front
wagon-ish.
This is the front-wheel drive one that's lower, but they do make a
XC60.
Oh, man.
Yes, which is higher in all-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not on this list.
What was
agreed.
What was the Subaru that was lifted from the factory? The Legacy?
Outback.
No, it was.
No, you're talking about there was a Legacy.
Remember, it was like the same height. They advertised
or was it the Outback sedan
was it
or
the
something?
Paul Hogan commercial?
Yeah. It's a good Australian car.
I think it was
car.
The first gen Outback.
Yeah, I think so
it was
too.
A Legacy. It was
a Legacy
option.
Outback.
Yeah, it was a trim
a sedan,
level of
though.
Legacy.
It was a sedan. It was just higher.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
It was like they rode the same height as a Baja.
Yeah, they advertised it as an Explorer ground clearance. They went head to head.
Oh, yeah.
So the V60 is a really good option, I think.
That's my favorite so far. And honestly, you know, for the price difference between that and the Volkswagen Golf, it seems like a no-brainer. Like, pay a little bit more
for
that much cooler of a vehicle.
Yeah, for sure. The Golf is out of contention.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
what does
reflect by the score.
What does maintenance on a Volvo look like versus
warranty?
Other cars?
It's got a warranty.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, something like that would carry a warranty.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, because I always just feel like Swedish cars are going to be more expensive.
Honestly,
and stuff.
I don't think it'd be much more than a Volkswagen. Volkswagen is expensive.
Yeah, that's what everybody said when I bought one, too. So.
And I think they're all pretty derivative. I don't think the motors are anything new. So I had the 2.5 Turbo 5 in my
Volvo
XC, and it was very smooth engine. Ran well. It still pulled hard at 210,000 miles. Well, it pulls hard as 230 horsepower would, or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, at least motor and tranny, I wouldn't have any issues in wheel bearings or you know shit like that.
Yeah, there's
tires
some,
are
yeah.
tires, brakes are brakes.
Your brakes and wheel bearings and your wear items are going to cost a little more than an average car, maybe.
But there's nothing proprietary there.
But not to Tony, because he has access for the same labor rate.
It's not as bad of a problem as him.
Right.
What about the electricals? Because I've heard Volvos have issues with electrical a lot.
That's older Volvos.
Okay, so you think they've worked that out?
Because everything's complicated now.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you get. They all have all kinds of sensors and nannies and trash control and stability control and yaw management mitigation.
Okay.
All that shit.
All right.
Yaw mitigation.
Yep.
Yaw mitigation.
It's a good band name.
Yaw mitigation.
Yaw mitigation. Coming from Kokio.
Kokio?
Kokio.
That's your job, Larry. Just keep it awake and actually plug it in.
Oh, God. I got it all. Okay.
So, next on the list, Lexus CT200. Isn't there an H after that 200?
Yes.
Now you're being pedantic.
Oh, okay. My God.
So this is a car that was actually on my list, surprisingly.
Yeah, I don't know how this made it on your list. A fucking hybrid?
Well, this is the thing. I thought, okay, I could put it all into the one boat. Like, I could get a Prius or an Insight and go just, you know, Uber fuel mileage. Or I could get a vehicle that's a hybrid that is still nice inside. Like, it's going to be super reliable because no one does hybrids better than Toyota. And... it's just a Toyota Matrix with a Lexus badge, but you can get them with really nice-looking interiors.
Yeah, I have a friend who has one, and this actually made me think of it, and I've driven his for a few miles, and it's a really nice place to be.
Is this the F-Sport, or is this the standard?
This is a standard, and F-Sports or F-Types or whatever are really rare, apparently.
Really?
I couldn't find any to
seems kind of unnecessary.
Who buys a hybrid that says Sport on it?
Yeah.
Agreed.
So I kind of... don't hate this car that much.
So now then you can help me out with the scores then. I mean, are they in the right place?
So cost score, it is... wow. Okay, so this is used.
Right.
The mileage is pretty 15,000
for the price. It's as good as you can get mileage.
Yep. So
not the greatest in cargo. It is a very small car.
It is a small car. It's the
back,
size...
the back seat's not a bad size. But the hatch is a weird, slopey,
and
sharp,
and you have space
short.
Being eaten up by batteries, probably, that you don't have in the Matrix that it's based on.
Yeah.
It's not going to drive that well. I think it looks good.
It's a good-looking car.
You gave it a 4 out
of
5.
Mm-hmm. I test drove one. It's very numb.
I'm sure it is. It's not sporty at all.
It's a 2.
A 2, okay.
That's fair, I think.
Comfort? Only a 2? Well, I guess
out of
3.
Out of 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then unique. It is kind of unique, I guess. Yeah. Sarah, 3. So right in the middle.
3 out of 5.
And a total of 23 without the features factored in. And I think it's going to rank highly on features because it's a Lexus. Also, if you get like a certified pre-owned one from the Lexus dealership, the dealerships from Lexus, I hear, take care of you like crazy. Like, it's a really good experience overall.
But is this harping back to getting an entry-level luxury car?
It is. It is. But... you're getting more than that because you're getting the better than average dealer experience. You're getting way better than average fuel economy.
But how often are you going to take a dealer, Tony?
Very.
That's true.
If I had a warranty.
Yeah, if you
had
a warranty.
I'm taking that shit every time.
And they'll give you a loaner. You'll get like an ES to drive around in.
Yeah.
This is kind of like the luxury Prius.
Yeah, it's a luxury Matrix.
Yeah, but they don't have an actual luxury Prius, this is basically what Lexus is.
I guess, yeah, but it is a Matrix.
Next item is the Infiniti Q40.
Nope, you skipped over.
The Prius 5.
Oh, Prius 5.
V. The Prius V, I think...
and it's very confusing after that because they have... the trim levels are 2, 3, and 4.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's super confusing.
So, this is the same price as the Lexus. I feel like I would go for the Lexus over this. The only thing you get with this is you get more cargo, right?
You get more mileage.
I think you get premium parking at Whole Foods, too, with this.
Yeah, you get better mileage.
You get smug value.
Better cargo. Worse looks.
Yeah. Free
worse
coexist
sports.
Bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Worse uniqueness.
I find it interesting that the mileage is better in the city versus highway than the electric.
That's when the electric kicks in. The electric doesn't do well on the highway.
Uh-huh.
So,
But it's still, why is it better than the Lexus CT200? It's interesting. More batteries or something?
Yeah, it's a different hybrid drivetrain. Probably more. It's a larger vehicle overall by a lot. Look at the cargo space.
Yeah.
Hopefully it has free charging.
That's true.
So the Prius V and the Prius C are the Priuses that are smaller and larger than the regular Prius.
It's pronounced Prii.
And Prius. I think they make a whole lot more sense than the regular Prius.
The C?
No. The regular Prius, the one everyone thinks of when they think of a Prius, I think that vehicle makes less sense than the larger Prius.
Yeah, than the more specialized ones.
Yeah, or the smaller
or
Prius.
Or the tiny one, which is like...
A Toyota Yaris.
If you're getting it only for commuting,
and I've driven a Toyota Yaris, and it is pure shit. I've also driven a Prius C. It is so much better than a Yaris.
I have a friend who likes his Prius C right down the hill from here.
Yep.
Is that the signature one or whatever?
The
custom color package?
Yeah. The personality one. It's something.
What?
I don't like this at all.
It's a shitty trim.
It's like a coexist paint scheme.
Oh, my God.
So it's tacked on plastic personality strips. He's got lime green
personality strips.
Yeah, you could pick a strip.
He has a mood ring on his car.
That'd be amazing.
That would actually
more
be pretty
less,
cool.
Yes. Like pissed off, gets purple.
That's not a bad idea. I want a mood hood so I know when the car is warm when I look out the window.
Mood headlights.
Well, yeah. you can tell that with snow on your hood.
Very true. Yeah.
So is fuel economy important enough to you to get this vehicle?
No.
But it's still got the highest score that we've seen, 23.
Well, but the feature score isn't going to be that high as compared to the Lexus.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah,
I mean, standing right here, it's going to be a 1 versus 2. And so that would put the Lexus at 25.
And Sarah likes it, too, not as much as the Lexus.
Right.
I think the Lexus would be a nicer place to be.
I agree.
Again, I think the Lexus is
It's just, the Prius cargo score brought it up to wherever Lexus was.
Yeah.
But I still feel like the Volvo is going to be a better car.
Yes.
Because the money that you're throwing at this vehicle is going to go, somewhere. And with the Lexus and the Prius, a lot of that money is going into the hybrid drivetrain, which...
I don't feel like the money go anywhere. It just work. Those hybrid drivetrains, they don't really have any problems.
No, they don't. I'm just saying... No. I'm saying the money in the design of the car, the money you're paying for the car... the engineering of the car, whereas the Volvo, it went into the whole vehicle, not just the hybrid portion of the vehicle.
Yeah, but if you look at the last column, it's a 2, and that's going to affect your DBJs.
Daily?
Tony knows what a DBJ is.
There's instant. And...
delayed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
IBJ is an instant blowjob.
Oh.
The DBJ is the delayed blowjob.
Well, none of these cars got a 5 from her, so you're not getting any IBJs.
DBJ is more realistic with a 3 or 4.
Yeah.
That's as best I can hope for.
Yeah.
So next up on the list, this is interesting, Infiniti Q40. What the fuck is a Q40?
I hate Infiniti's naming.
Is that a sedan? Is that an SUV? No one knows.
So
this is my
You have an
idea.
Infiniti outside. This What's is your
my,
Infiniti?
This is my idea. I was like, okay, I'll put the newest version of what I have on the list, and maybe let's see how it does.
Uh-huh.
I have a G35 sedan.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
6-speed.
Then they made a G37.
Yes. Yeah.
And so this appears to be at that time frame when they went and said, okay, we're naming everything Qs. This is exactly the same as the G37, but now it says Q40?
Yes.
That's what it looks like in the imagery.
But
here
now
the
there's a Q50, which is the same car with a different engine.
Whoever's marketing all these numbers and letters.
It sounds fancy.
They're doing a great job.
So I'm very upset.
They're selling their services.
I thought it would do well in my mind before scoring anything, but it turns out it didn't do so well.
I'm surprised because arguably the G37/Q40 is like the best of that line of cars.
I think this also includes it being all-wheel drive since it is Sarah and she's not going to daily a real drive car four seasons.
And it is your sportiest car on your list.
Yes.
Nothing else even, it's a 4 out of 5. Nothing else even gets a 4. Or 5, obviously. But, and with this car, because a version of this was on my list too.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept looking at it and it just seemed like a lot of money for a car that the quality wasn't really there. And it's like, a Audi S5.
The interior looks almost exactly the same as the Ultimas in this era. And the same buttons and pretty close to the same trim.
No, I think the interiors are nicer than the newer ones. The newer ones got all cheap.
No. I'm saying this generation and the same generation Ultima have pretty much the same hardware because it's the same manufacturer.
Yeah.
And that kind of shit bothers me. I'm surprised it doesn't bother you.
It does.
It's like the same, you know.
It does.
Oh, cool. I'm paying how many thousands more for the same shit
but
equipment.
What you get with this is you're getting a chassis, an engine, a transmission, and a differential.
So a car.
Yeah, this.
Oh.
But no, that's where the money is going. It's going into those things with this car.
I would hope so.
This model, I think, has the 330 horsepower
VQ 35.
They still use that motor. But at 330 horsepower, this is a lot of power. And the constraints of this list.
Yeah, absolutely. So, surprisingly, ranks kind of low. And Sarah, she gives it a 3.
Yeah, it ranks low in
the
cargo,
gas mileage
and
the cargo,
and mileage. So, it's not pulling its weight in those categories.
See, I'm surprised. Why does Sarah like the small cars like the Civic and the Mazda?
That's all she's ever had. Think about it.
No, she's been cruising around in a Crosstour and a fucking Volvo. She's
only
been
had
in
one
huge
small
cars
car
for years.
She had an Integra, and then she had the Neon.
She had a fucking Firebird.
She had an Intrepid.
She had an Intrepid? Oh, yeah. She had an Intrepid and a Firebird. Yeah. She's had more big cars than small ones.
All right.
Yeah, she had the worst Firebird ever.
I've only heard how bad this thing is.
Yeah, I remember.
Did it at least have the chicken on
it? Like, she would come to school. I thought she was like a drug dealer. It was crazy. It was
maybe
her first
she was
car. But anyway, moving on. Here's something that's interesting to me, because I went back and forth on this car too. I feel like it's pretty good, but then I don't know. It's an Acura TLX.
Where did I score this? I actually like this a lot.
I mean, 21 without features listing, it's pretty high.
And you can get a lot of features, but you're going to pay for those features.
And it's the highest on the DBJ chart.
Oh yeah! Wow, she does like it a lot. Why? Because of styling. Mainly?
Yeah, she thinks it looks good.
I think it's a good size car.
It's a good size car. It actually depreciates much better than an Accord.
Way faster,
which is stupid.
But I also hear that it's not that good reliability-wise.
Really?
Yeah, like it's not the Acura from the past. Just like Infiniti is no longer Infiniti from 6 years ago.
Right. But
now, would this be a TLX with like the four cylinder or six cylinder, the
it
four wheel steering?
At this price, it's a base model.
Okay, so that'd be
which
the four cylinder.
Which is fine because the mileage is good. It's still six speed automatic.
Yes.
And a K20 motor, 240 horsepower, something like that. So it's not.
Yeah, the power is fine.
Yeah, it's,
and you get the four wheel steering in this version if you. Well, no, that was probably an option.
No, this is a base. Sorry. This is absolutely base. And this is, I drove one of these and.
Yeah, I test drove one.
Yeah, but you drove an optioned up one.
Yeah, that's true.
But I test drove one of these a few weeks ago, and it was a base one, and I thought, yeah, this is a perfectly adequate car. It's pretty nice. It's pretty good and not exceptional at anything.
Yeah.
That's what I gathered.
And you're not getting any middle management points like with the Accord.
I'm glad I didn't go for it, though.
Okay.
Because think about this now. So this isn't on your list. But think about this. For that same price, $18,000, $20,000.
You could have added things on this. I sent this list to you weeks ago.
I didn't know you want me to add.
You could have added anything.
I didn't know you wanted me to. So I think that you should consider things like Audis and Mercedes, all-wheel drive.
R-Class.
Very R-Class to me.
Yeah. R-Class is the Mercedes minivan that you can get a crazy supercharged V8 in, or turbo, or
some you get
shit
the,
like that.
The 3.5 for like $9,000.
Yeah, but
yeah, those are.
But you can get like all-wheel drive C-classes. You can certainly get all-wheel drive E-classes, and you can get A4s and A5s. Well, you don't want a coupe, but
no, I did see a whatever Audi midsize wagon today, which is a very handsome car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the wagons look good.
Oh, no, bring a trailer. There's an Advent A4 right now, wagon.
Yeah, from like 2002.
Yeah.
That'd be a nightmare.
That's like $8,000.
But no, I think you should consider that, because for this same price, think about what Acura is going up against here. They have this TLX. It is going up against a 3 Series, kind of. It's going up against an A4, kind of. It's going up against a C-Class, kind of. So why not consider those? And the only reason I didn't say BMW is because I don't like any of the BMWs.
It would be
newer
worth,
ones.
Yeah, they would be worth considering if they had the warranty backing it.
Right.
So
maybe you spend a little bit more money and throw a warranty on there.
Could be, but we can go through the rest of the list and we can
Yep.
And we can kind of see which direction I'm headed.
Yep.
So the next is a TSX wagon that really surprised me.
Yes, yes, and yes. And that got a 24 on your list.
Wow.
Highest ranked.
I didn't think so it would far. Do so well. It got a 4 in cost. I didn't put an actual cost
what is it?
Figure there.
They're very hard to find.
Yes, because they are hard to find.
You will not find a 6-speed.
Probably
I
not.
Wasn't hoping to.
You're not going to.
So I think they were hovering in the 14-ish, 15 range.
Price-wise, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Something like that. So it does well in cargo. Cost, yeah, that's what it fell into the cost categories before. Mileage is okay, 2230.
Yep.
Cargo's good. Looks are
pretty good.
Looks are
I like
pretty
the way
good.
It looks.
It depends on if you can get past the beak.
Yeah.
Oh, it has that ugly...
Yeah, the ugly, the hideous Acura chrome beak thing.
Yeah, it's from that generation. Sport, it's not very sporty. It's pretty comfortable. It is unique. And what did Sarah think? She didn't hate it.
3. So
that surprised me, too.
Okay, here's a question. You're going down this route with the Acura route, right? And what if you sacrifice the wagon but go one tier up and look at the, what is it, the TL?
TL wagon?
Oh, TL, yeah.
TL, yeah. The older TLs, like a few years old. Higher caliber car, bigger engine, sportier.
Probably some nice depreciation.
And more features, arguably, too, because these TSXs are surprisingly sparse.
Yeah, yeah. They were their entry level at
that
time.
That was the entry level Acura. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's why I'm saying TL, next level up.
Mm-hmm.
Go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot more car. It's you a could, whole lot more car.
I would have reviewed that if you would have opened the list weeks ago.
He did say, add to this, please.
No, he didn't.
It's at least to me. Which I didn't add any, but...
You did...
R-Class.
With the R-Class. And it got the worst mileage. It had like 11
You were looking at the V8. You were looking at the 3.5.
I think I looked at them both.
I don't think a 3.5 could do that bad.
It mileage. Wasn't good.
I'm sure.
But cargo is probably high. It looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
Room for DBJs. Like, it's got everything.
Oh, yeah.
Features are probably a 4 on your chart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The next two options, I feel, aren't even worth looking at. Mark added them to the list.
Oh, thank God. Because I was going to be so disappointed.
Look at the fucking score, Andrew.
Oh, good. Subaru Crosstrek. This is just a ruined Impreza.
Now, see... Mark added this to my list, and it is scored accordingly at the worst car.
At 18. The Outback gets 1 point less.
The Crosstrek.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is surprising to me. I like the Outback so much more than the Crosstrek.
These scored. Oh.
Well, I think that's Sarah's score that's taken it down.
Yeah.
These scored just as well as the Ford Transit Connect.
So the Crosstrek, Sarah gives it a 3. There's a theme going here.
I think Sarah might be into women. She really likes that Crosstrek.
Hatchbacky over-designed cars rank high for Sarah.
They do. And which I originally left her opinion out of this.
No, I think it factors in, and I like this factor. It makes this whole thing a little more interesting.
Like, she couldn't break down the scores, she couldn't break down the things as much as I would.
Yeah, because women just don't understand cars.
That's sexist.
So I don't think we need to talk about the Crosstrek or the Outback.
Good.
Which they weren't on my list at all.
Yeah, get the Australian cars out of here.
Next option is the newish Focus.
Nocus.
It does well in a lot of things, but I don't think I'm actually going to consider it.
38 miles a gallon on the highway?
Again, this is like a... It's a super cheap car, and it why not get the Mazda if you're looking at the Focus?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
It did score well. It's not a bad-looking car. It's cheap. That's what it's really pulling its weight at.
Okay.
So it gets a 5 in the cost category because you can get them for 10 grand with, 40,000 miles
and
or something
again,
like that.
Sarah gives it a 3. Over-designed, small hatchback.
And, yeah, yeah. So it surprised me with the score, but I don't think it's a real option, which it did hit a 24. The next option is the newest generation Mazda 6.
Yep.
And this I really do like, even though it's not the best cargo.
What about the wagon?
No, it's a sedan.
Why don't you get the wagon?
There is no Mazda there is 6 no wagon. Wagon.
They do make one everywhere else, and it's fantastic yes. looking.
If you go to Europe, you can get one. Or maybe Canada. Can you import them from Canada?
It is a really good-looking car.
Yeah.
The wagon. And the sedan's not a bad-looking car either. I gave it a 4. It does...
I think it looks good, yeah.
It's a 3 in a sport. It's a 3 comfort. It's unique enough. It's not like a Optima running down the road or anything like that. It's not a Camry.
Right.
Sarah likes it, 3.
Yeah, Sarah liked it. The only thing that really held it back is the cargo, and, I mean, if it's that big of a deal, I mean, I think I can overcome that, you know, anything I need to carry.
Right, because practically, I think a Mazda 6 is going to have more space than any of these little hatchbacks are going to have.
Yes, in real world leg room and such.
Right, because you have a trunk, you can put groceries in there.
Yeah.
You could, the bike, the fold down the fucking seats, and then the kid's seat, way easier to get that in and out of a Mazda 6 than it is any of these hatchbacks.
And
I would roof rack it.
And, any of these that I really do like is a roof rack option, too. Mm-hmm. So
right. So I would change your cargo score to Rowan score.
Because what?
Rowan is your child.
Because what I found out, like, I have a Mazda 3 and a 06 Mazda 6, and I was trying to figure out how to get a 65-inch TV from a Best Buy for a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized somebody was like, why don't you just check your sedan? And I was like, it won't fit. And they're like, oh, I don't know. The sedan's pretty big. And I measured it, and it was bigger than my fucking Mazda 3 because it's wider. So it actually was able to fit more cargo because the seats do fold down. Now, you can't stack shit in there as high because it doesn't have a hatch. It does have a trunk, but it's surprisingly volume-wise, you know, you can get quite a bit of shit in there when the seats fold down.
And again, Mazda 6, next tier up. Above the entry.
And historically, I do like the looks of hatches and wagons better than sedans.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it depends on the wagon.
But, yeah, I mean...
What about an E-Class wagon?
Now, if you could find one of those you could afford...
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Well, obviously not AMG,
if you get the AMG version, I'm gonna...
605 horsepower to haul Rowan's ass around.
Fuck gas mileage. I'm doing burnouts.
Do that thing that Doug DeMiro does and open the tailgate and put Rowan's baby seat in the back and floor it.
So the Mazda 6 is a real contender because you can get them used with lowish mileage, you know, under 50.
Mm-hmm. They don't have that Accord tax when they're used.
Right.
Right.
So
they're very reliable.
Yeah, from anywhere from 12 to 15, you can get the...
Grand Touring models.
You still get the 2.5.
Yep. Well, that's all you can get.
You get the 6-speed automatic. Can you
find a manual?
If you can find one, I mean,
feel
they
like
make
this
it.
Car, you might be able really to find a manual.
I think I found more manual Mazda 6s
than 3s.
Used than the hatchback 3.
Yep.
Huh.
And I'm sure the sedan 3 too, but I didn't look at the sedan 3.
The sedan 3 is garbage. Don't.
14 grand is a nice price.
Right. And that ranks a total of 25 on your list, the highest ranked score.
And essentially, that is nothing cost-wise because I can sell the Accord Crosstour I have currently for probably about 13.
So, okay, here's your answer. You get the Mazda 6 and you get another Miata.
I sat in a smart car today.
Uh-huh.
Oh, why? I'm sorry.
It was at the museum. For some reason, it's a shit car that they let kids crawl in and out of.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm.
Why
no
would
one
somebody
anyway.
Get a smart car over a Miata?
I don't know. Actually, you should ask our friend Macy, who's been on this show several times.
Actually,
she has a smart car.
She thinks it's cute.
I bought my first-gen Miata from a guy who was buying his second smart car.
What the fuck is wrong with that?
That's what I was thinking when I was sitting in that.
Who would buy a smart car over a Corolla?
Yeah, over anything.
Like, if you're going to be, economy. The Corollas get better gas mileage.
If you're
going
to be space, you can.
Yeah.
Might as well be Miata.
I don't want space. I don't want good gas mileage. I don't want good handling.
I want
people to make fun of me. I don't want good safety.
I didn't mean to go on a tangent here, but I was just thinking about that.
Here we go.
The Mazda 6 is not going to be a sporty car. Like, it's not a lot of power. I think it's under 200 horsepower.
It's going to handle well enough.
It handles well.
It'll be as sporty as anything else on this list.
And it's all in the context of this list.
Yeah.
I mean, I have cars that handle well.
Zoom, zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Both cars that I have will out-handle most of these options.
And also, the overall Tony score is the highest so far with 25 that we've reached.
And that's without features.
That's without the features.
Next up on the list, I don't like it. Subaru Forester XT.
We're back to Subarus.
This is a car you buy when you have a kid and you had to sell your WRX.
Yeah, this was another Mark option here that was
I would just say, why not get the Outback or, better yet, a Legacy?
No, I'm not getting any Subaru. Well, don't okay, tell me. Good, fine. I didn't put it on the fucking list.
Okay. This is your list.
Tony's just afraid to lose, Sarah.
The Forester, I had to do my due diligence by filling in the scores
yeah,
after.
Think about it, yeah. All right, I'm going to add some to this list, too, but we don't need to do a show about it.
It didn't do awful, but I don't like it. It's not a real option.
What's the Forester XT?
It's a turbo Forester.
It's the, oh, okay. Yeah, it's
extra
the, yeah,
tight.
Oh, so, how old is that? What year is those?
I think that was in the 13, 14, 15, probably 13, 14 year range.
Our, okay, our friend Tom, co-host of the show, has a, I think, a 15 Forester. Mm-hmm. And it's loaded up.
Mm-hmm. It's got the eyeball drive.
Yeah, it's
drive
got the
thing,
eyesight and all that.
I don't know what that means.
LL Bean
radar cruise control and
oh,
shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's nice, but I drive it, and it's like, this feels like a tiny little shitbox that's jacked up. Like, it feels like a jacked up Impreza.
Right.
Versus a Legacy or an Outback feels like a significant car. Like, it's so much nicer and substantial. So I just don't like these little crossovers, because they're just... they're just ruined versions of smaller, bad cars.
I gotcha.
Yep.
All right. I'm on.
Sorry, Mark.
Next one is the Volvo V50,
which is the same thing as the V60, I guess, right?
The older version.
It's the older version of the V60, from what I can tell.
Yeah, but you got to look at the cost. It's
I found a huge range of costs here. You can get one with 80,000, 70,000 miles for pretty cheap, around the $7,000
well,
range.
Here's the thing. I learned with Volvos.
Yeah.
Looking into them myself, the cost will vary quite a bit because there are engine, transmission, feature, trim level options galore with Volvos.
Galore.
I don't think motors.
Yeah.
It's not that pretty standard
like
motors.
Every Volvo is offered with like a four-cylinder turbo, a five-cylinder turbo, a six-cylinder turbo. Like,
I think that more had to do with the XT, the all-wheel drive versions versus the front-wheel drive versions and such.
Okay.
Yeah, this model year 04 to 12.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's why you see such disparity in the cost.
Yeah.
Even at 12 grand at the highest price point,
right,
still.
Right. I don't think it's a real option, even
really?
After scoring it.
The score is 25 as well.
It scores well because the cost, the mileage is okay. What else? The cargo is really good, and it just kind of hangs in the middle of all the other options.
And you get your Volvo loyalty back.
Yes, yeah. I get back into a Volvo. I get back into the comfortable interior, the solid feeling doors.
You can go to IKEA and get that 10% discount.
Yes.
Swedish meatball cargo capacity.
Sarah actually didn't hate this one either, but this is... What did I put for sport? I feel like this one should be a 1 in sport instead of a 2.
Yeah.
Because this is just the 2-liter non-turbo.
Oh,
I think
that's
or 2.4 non-turbo.
That sounds right.
Yeah, okay. And most of them is automatic. This would have been 5-speed auto in this generation. But it just happened to do well in all the other ones where it after, the numbers don't... The end number doesn't necessarily...
I think you need to revisit this on your scoring chart. Because you have the V60 in there, which is just a better version of this.
Right. But I think the numbers work because it is more expensive.
Yeah,
so
you have
it gets
an
$8,000
price difference.
Yeah, so, that's true. Good point.
So the cost really does reflect well on this.
But something you pay more for, theoretically, you're going to have for longer.
Yeah. And actually, any one of these real options, the Mazda 6.
You should have a column for longevity.
Yeah, I mean, like, say I get something, a Mazda 6, that's a placeholder for something else that comes along that I really like.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what this Accord I bought was.
Like when Rowan doesn't need a car seat anymore. What age do they not need car seats?
They always need something.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Until they're like 30?
13, they need a Hans device.
It's retarded.
As soon as I start having memories, I wasn't in a car seat.
Well, so the same to me, but they need booster seats, which are smaller, but I don't know.
What the
why? Yeah, no, none of us did. We're all not dead.
My wagon had built-in booster seats.
The cars are safer.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. But actually, yeah, the Honda, the reason I bought this, I did get a good deal on it. But I really couldn't find anything that I was really in love with. And that's still the same story.
It's tough. Like, you got to go old. You got to get an old BMW 8 Series. That's your only option, actually.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This
being super
Sarah's,
reliable, no electrical problems.
Sarah's car. I don't want to fucking work on any of these.
Oh, right.
So like, I don't want her texting me something's wrong with the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could do that. I could fix my Infiniti. I could fix the MR2 all I want. Mm-hmm. I have bicycles. I have a scooter. You know, I can get around. I don't give a shit.
You should just have nothing but like 10 MR2s.
Just one for each day of the week.
Yeah. 10 days a week.
Strapped in.
And the last option on this list is a new Honda Fit, and it doesn't do well. So it's not worth talking about.
Okay, good.
Because
let's keep talking about it.
Sarah didn't even rank it. That's how much she hates it.
I think this was an add-on, and this was outside of her original scores.
Okay,
and so I think
it is a hatch.
I think we did talk about it, and I think she was kind of in the middle about it.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah.
Three or two.
But see, you give it a higher cargo score than the Mazda 6, which I think that's incorrect.
I think, yeah, that's just based on pure cubic feet.
Yeah.
But I can't.
I think that her scores would change significantly if she had to live with one of these cars for a day or two.
Oh, probably.
Like, as soon as she tried to reach in the back of a Subaru Crosstrek versus a Mazda 6 or a TSX wagon, then she might not be so in love with the Crosstrek.
Yeah, you're driving your Crosstrek and you like drop your Alanis Morissette album in the back.
You drop your MP3 in the back.
I hate when that happens.
Okay, so it seems like the answer is Mazda 6.
We have a couple contenders. We still have the Lexus CT200.
Larry.
Yeah, damn it. Yeah, because there's, you know, I think you can definitely... put some highlights on the higher ranking cars here, and
right,
then it's going to depend on what you can find.
I feel there should be, you know, my gut feeling. It's something you can't really score, but I like.
Yeah.
I really like the Mazda 6. It's a handsome car. It's cheap, and it'll do things well.
Yeah, is a V60 $6,000 more of a car?
I don't think so.
No,
it's a very good looking car.
So that's the tough part. It's good looking. It's cool inside. It's cool.
That's your answer between the two.
Right.
I feel like your top three is a 6, V60, and maybe CT200.
But the Volvo's a more premium vehicle, too. That counts for something.
It is.
Yeah.
But the Mazda is me paying minimal more dollars after I sell the Honda, and I can I can pay out of pocket for my deck that I'm putting on in the spring. You know what I mean?
And the Mazda's pretty premium.
It's a
deck.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's real money savings, you know, that
a Mazda deck.
Mazda, I think, like the Mazda interior is just like my Mazda 3. It's a damn nice interior for what you're paying for.
Right.
And I mean, unless you have to have that powered lumbar support seat and all that nonsense.
Like, Sarah's not going to notice any of that shit anyway.
Yeah.
And again, it's Sarah's car. So that yeah.
And what'd she rate the Mazda 6 at? 3.
20.
She's going to go with you to test drive these, right?
She will be. And I like how we're going in depth of all this shit, and she's upstairs. She's not part of any of this conversation.
Well, she's not stressed about this.
She looked at pictures of all these cars and gave them an arbitrary 1 through 5 score.
Yep.
Might as well have been a 1 through 4 score.
But this decision is going to affect her more than anyone else.
Right.
And I'm more stressed than she is.
And we're spending way more time than she will ever think about it.
This is the history of all mankind.
So, this is my list. I like the layout. I sort of like what Answers told me. If you added stuff to it, I would have.
Yeah, you know, sorry. Them. I didn't want to. So with this show, I don't like to spoil things ahead of time. So I didn't show Larry and Puke my list before we did the episode about it.
Yeah, you want to go in dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fred Durst is a dry guy.
You're a dry guy.
Yeah. So anyway, Tony's going to get a Mazda 6 unless I convince him otherwise.
Wait, you convinced him to get a Mazda 6?
Right now, looking at this list.
Convince him not to get it?
I might try.
Man,
but I might not, because again, it's not his car.
You did me a huge favor by backing up what the numbers actually told me.
Yeah.
Man, Andrew, I'm so glad you're here.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
You picked the highest rated car on the list.
Okay, wow. Fine. Fuck you. Get the TSX. No, that's 24. Get the Infiniti Q40.
I still like the Transit Connect. That's my opinion.
I thought it was interesting, and it didn't end up scoring all that well.
But you have to get the Transit Connect that is the box in the back, like the utility box.
I think they all are.
It has to have a seat.
No, They make transit connects that have actual, like, four or five seats,
oh,
like a van.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the full-on utility. It's just
wrap to strap the kid seat into the floor.
Bare metal. It'll have hooks.
Well, thanks for adding the car seat. I mean, I was just going to ratchet strap him to the ground.
You could put a ratchet strap a playpen to the ground.
Yep.
It just sits there. Like, how great is that?
Oh, it's got that SRS.
A swing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a swing.
Oh, I got one up in my bedroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, you do?
Just wash it first.
The captain's chair.
What's gross about it? It's screwed into an LVL.
Plus, you'll have the joy of, like, every time.
It's final. It wipes down.
Every time you leave Walmart, you just wait till there's somebody nearby, and then you grab the kid, and you're like, quick, get in now! And then you peel off and drive away.
Yeah, swinging door. I mean, there's little. Yeah. I mean, it's a smooth transaction.
Yeah.
And Tony has a solid history of never dragging anybody with a swinging door.
So, I had to say this, I'll forget, because we already forgot.
The batteries died?
But no.
Oh, thank God.
During the break, you guys heard a clip of a PCL that Nick and I did a couple days ago about the state of our friendship, I guess.
Oh.
That sounds serious.
It was
drama.
I think. I don't remember.
Male tears. The
anyway,
time.
You can find that at pukeinthegang.com/VIP. You can also hear Larry Puke and I talk about what car I should get in a much more well-thought-out, comprehensive way. And
Wow. Arrogant much.
So on that note, thanks for coming to Tony's house, Tony. And Larry?
Yeah. Fantastic. Thanks for having me as a guest.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic host.
Tony, you have to leave now.
Yeah, we're going to ask you to leave so we can wrap up here. And by wrap up, I mean jerk off on the floor.
It's carpet.
Wow. Yep.
Yep. Good luck getting that up.
What's this offensive link you have in your bookmarks that's N-gate?
Oh, yeah, any gates is a bad thing, right?
Well, plus it starts with N-word, gate.
You want to see it?
No, I'm good. All right. Cool. I don't need to see your porn. This has been Puke and the Gang, everybody. Rock on.
Silence! I get so angry at you so easily.
We had this shitty Cooper Tire Penn State banner. I don't know what the two have to do with each other, Penn State and Cooper Tire. But I was like, all right. I pulled it off the side of the building. I was like, hey, I'll trade you this for that. He's like, okay.
Official beer of the NHL, Bud Ice.
A 1995.
Should be like the official beer of spousal abuse.
I think that's 95. Puke, what year does it say right by your head?
95, yeah.
Ah, yeah. I'll give you some impedance.
I don't believe you.
What's this painting of this guy? Does he have a character name?
Vigo.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
The Carpathian. V-I-G-O. Oh,
spell it out for
me. V-I-G-G-O.
Well, I'm going to do Carpathian. That's way better. Or is it Vigo the Carpathian?
Vigo the carpet salesman.
You're right.
Looks like he sells carpets. I've got the narrative rug for you.
Now, Andrew's chart was terrible.
Yeah, because I slapped it together really quickly.
Yeah, it wasn't on a spreadsheet.
No, because I was like making it up as I went along. I didn't have a plan for the chart.
It was a true,
that's how the best charts are made.
Chart, yeah.
No plan.
Yeah.
Slapped together quickly and probably violently.